hey team. So after much deliberation, I'm back to record this Kyle and Jackie O episode. I've felt torn about it because I felt like I left the run too late. It's, you know, people are probably bored of the story now. It's not so much in the news cycle, but also who cares? You know, I did tell myself this isn't very on brand for you, but then I also reminded myself, girl, you don't have a brand. You've been in hiding for 4 years. So there is no brand. The brand is whatever you want to talk about. And I thought, no, maybe I won't bother. But then I keep having people ask me about it. So I just thought, you know what, just sit down and record all of your thoughts. Also, I think because it's been such a quickly developing story and the first couple of weeks there was just a lot of, you know, new information surfacing that I didn't want to record it and have it go out and then have it not be relevant, but then also who cares? So here I am. Before I start, I guess I want to just maybe give some context about who Kyle and Jackie O are, because I mean, I'm sure if you're Australian, you know who Kyle and Jackie O are, but you may not have listened to their show. I know I haven't really ever listened to Kyle and Jackie O. I don't listen to radio, to be honest. It's not really my thing. If I'm driving in the car, I'm listening to my own music or I'm listening to podcasts. I don't do radio, but I also live regionally and I have for a very long time. And while my dream job in my 20s was Triple J, I'm no longer the demographic, like really not the demographic. I don't even listen to Hottest 100 anymore. I have no idea what they're playing and it's not me anymore. Although, having said that, I have worked adjacent to radio. So, I mean, I worked in radio, but that was in the early 2000s. It was a very different time and place. And for the last 3 years, I worked for a national broadcaster, but I wasn't working in radio. I was working in podcasting. But I've always been really interested in radio. I've always just been really interested in things that grab the attention of the mainstream. I'm always fascinated to try to understand why Kyle and Jackie O is one of the most listened to shows in the country when it's so not what I would ever choose to listen to. You know, like, what is it about them that people love? I don't get it, but plenty of people do. And I don't have to get it. You know, different strokes for different folks. Different people like different things. And I think that's a really important part of this message. Just because we don't like or understand something doesn't mean that we can tell others that they can't like something. You know, they have their own reasons for it. We're going to dig a bit deeper into the psychology of that, but I'm going to break it down a bit further. But basically, to give some context, Kyle and Jackie O, if you're not Australian and you've never heard of them before, they've been around for a very long time. They've both got a very long history in radio. Jackie O started in around the mid-90s, maybe around 1993, and she was known for a show that she did primarily, I guess, with Ugly Phil back in the day. I think she did like the top 40 countdown or something. Anyway, she was actually married to Ugly Phil and they got divorced and he moved to the UK. And that was when, I'm not sure of the exact timing, but basically then Kyle came into the picture. Now, they have been on radio together for, 25 plus years. And interesting story, which I think people are often more complex than we tend to give them credit for, particularly if there is an element to them that is problematic, right? Like Kyle is a problematic character. There's no denying that. He is a shock jock, and shock jocks are there to shock, and a lot of people love that shit. It's not my style. I find it kind of, a bit juvenile, but also whatever. People can choose to listen to whatever they want to listen to. But so I think we have this ability to like see someone who's problematic and really simplify them and dehumanize them, where it's like, you know, we lose the aspects that they're actually a very complex human, like we all are. yeah, I think we want to make people one-dimensional when they're not. So with Kyle, sometimes I feel a little bit torn. And this is the story, apparently, told by Kyle himself. So back in the day, Jackie was kind of a queen of radio. Ugly Phil had moved on and they were looking for someone to partner with her. They were working at SCA, which was the company I used to work at the time. They wanted to have Kyle partner with Jackie. Now, at the time, Kyle was a bit of a nobody. Like he was kind of a nobody. He was working at B105 in Brisbane. I think he was doing weekends or something like that. Like he wasn't doing like breakfast or, you know, anything like that or drive. He was, you know, he was a relatively unknown. I think he'd worked in Perth prior to that maybe. Anyway, so he's at B105. He gets a call to be invited to join Jackie O and he was shocked. Like, oh my God, this is an amazing opportunity. Jackie O is, you know, a queen in this industry. So my God, yes. And they offered him $250,000 a year to pack up his life in Brizzy, of which I don't think he had much of a life. So it was a bit of a no-brainer, and head to Sydney to take on whatever they were doing at the time. Might have been breakfast radio. And he was like, I'm in. So he goes in to meet Jackie and says, oh my God, this is just like a dream come true. I can't believe I get to work with you. I'm coming to work in a major market. You know, I'm just a kid from Brizzy. So what an honor. And I can't believe they're going to pay me $250,000 a year for this shit. He noticed Jackie's response and was like, $250,000? He's like, yeah, what are you making? And she says, $90,000. So Kyle is like, no, I'm not having this. They're not going to pay me $250,000 a year and I'm a nobody from Brisbane and pay you $90,000 a year as a queen of radio. That's just not happening on my watch. So he goes back in and says to them, no, you can pay Jackie the same as you're paying me, or you can take the difference of what I earn and she earns and split it down the middle and we will earn the same, you know, which is such a progressive thing to do for the 90s, huge. And so from that perspective, that I have some respect for Kyle for advocating for Jackie in that way when he didn't have to, but he saw it was unfair and he did something about it. You know, and they always said after that they would be 50-50 partners. So yeah, so there's complexity here. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about their relationship going forward, but they were tight. They were the best of friends. They worked together. They played together. They had the utmost respect for each other. Yeah, but you know, working relationships are complex. Anyone who has been in a partnership of any kind when it comes to business will know that. Like it's rare for a partnership to stand the test of time. It really is. And this was one that did. In a nutshell, for the last 25 plus years, they have been almost the undisputed kings and queens of radio. Huge audience. They haven't really changed their shtick very much. It's very, very much still toilet humor and classic shock jock stuff. So when this all started to unfold, I think it was around the 20th of Feb. Yeah, God, it was exciting. Sounds kind of weird to say, but like I had the popcorn out. I'm not going to lie. I was like, what is happening? This is drama and I'm loving it. And this is someone who doesn't listen to the show, doesn't even really like the content. I've never listened. I've heard snippets. So one of the things, actually, I'll talk about that in a second. I'll come back around to it. But basically, I was there with the popcorn in hand. I was obsessively DMing, voice noting my friends in radio to like try and get the goss, speculating, playing detective. We were having a great time. But again, things are never one-dimensional. So while I was there, lapping all this up, in the drama, loving life, devouring popcorn, there was some complicated feelings here, because there are other humans involved in this. So while it can be a bit like Kyle got what he deserved, we don't know that he got what he deserved because it hasn't unfolded completely yet, but it is complicated because I'm a producer and I know what it's like to be made redundant in this market. It's hard, you know. I'm just lucky that I had a plan and I had a lot of foresight. So I knew it was coming and I could work around that. And I had already started working around it because I kind of could see the end was nigh for me. But these producers are people who are professionals, often with families, and they're humans in a job. And there's like 12 of them. I'm pretty sure they've got like 12 producers. That is a little excessive, but it's a lot. And it's a lot of producers, top class producers, to be out of work in this climate, in this industry. It's scary. So there was this complexity. And actually one of the talent that I represent with In Lem's agency is Mitchell Coombs. And Mitchell is just an incredible creator. If you don't follow Mitchell on Instagram or TikTok, you really should. His content is like, he's a master at storytelling and video production. And actually he was a video producer for Kyle and Jackie O. He worked in the Kyle and Jackie O team. And so he has had insider experience. And he was sharing a reel when it all kind of first went down, where he was talking about like, love or hate Kyle, I feel really sad for all the producers and the team. They will be heartbroken. They won't know what's coming next for them. It's got to be a really scary time. And just keep that in mind. And some of the comments were pretty harsh in that, I guess, that one-dimensional view that these producers were upholding a problematic voice. And so, therefore, they got what they deserved too. And I think that's a simplistic view. I also think it's rather dehumanizing, and I find that little bit a little contradictory, or maybe even ironic. The fact that Kyle haters, they're completely valid, but I find it interesting that their complaint is about the way Kyle dehumanizes people and, you know, and he upholds misogyny and racism and ableism and all of the isms. And yet, in return, they dehumanize him as a person without feelings and without complexity. And that I just find confusing. I don't really understand it. Now, the other thing that you probably need as some background context is that Kyle and Jackie O were on, a couple of years ago, maybe 18 months ago, signed a $200 million contract. I've heard it stated as $100 million and $200 million, but I'm pretty sure it was $200 million. A $200 million contract for over 10 years, so $20 million a year over 10 years with ARN. Now, at the time, I was like, are they fucking crazy in this climate? Where radio is dying, traditional media is dying, advertisers are taking their money elsewhere, marketing budgets are tight, and yet they're forking out, or they're committing to a $200 million year over 10 years. I was thinking to myself, we won't really probably have radio in 10 years. So how on earth are they going to ever A, recoup on this, and B, how can they willingly enter into this ridiculous contract in this current climate? I just thought it was absolute madness. So I guess ARN's plan was, right now Kyle and Jackie O, well, not right now, but at the time, Kyle and Jackie O were Sydney only, and they had a huge share of the Sydney market, which is the major market in this country. And they kind of have a bit of a monopoly on that audience. Sydney love them. Not all of Sydney, of course, but they do very well in that market. So their plan was to, as a lot of radio stations have done increasingly over the past decade, they are nationalizing rather than localizing. You know, radio worked because it was local. And so you would jump on and you would hear local people talking about local issues, and there was a very much a local flavor to it. But over the years, we've gone more and more into syndication. Now, when I worked in radio, I worked in regional radio in 2003. We were live local from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then we went into syndicated from Sydney from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. So breakfast, we had a breakfast show that went from 6 till 10. We had like a mid-afternoon shift, which was 10 till 2, and then a 2 till 6 drive shift. I had done all of those. I was on breakfast. I was also did the midday shift, and I also did drive. I did drive until I finished with the station. It's rare now to have local radio run for 12 hours of the day. You know, like the night, no one's really listening from that 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. slot. And so they can just kind of have one, it makes sense to have one person from the, one of the biggest stations, or it doesn't even have to be, it can be from anywhere. And you just syndicate that because no one's listening anyway. Well, people are listening, but you know what I mean. It's not the prime time. So you want to make sure those prime hours are filled with content that is relevant to your audience. And so ARN had this kind of genius idea that they would nationalize Kyle and Jackie O. And the first step to that was taking them into Melbourne. At the time, there's this great podcast called Game Changers. It's a podcast really all about radio. And I started listening to it when the first Kyle and Jackie O saga happened, which was this $200 million contract and this plan to move into the Melbourne market. Because I'm a Melbourneite, ex-Melbourneite, haven't lived there since I was 26, but lived here now for 23 years. But I grew up in Melbourne, and I knew that Kyle and Jackie O would not fly in Melbourne. That Melbourne are very Melbourne people. They're not interested in having a show syndicated from Sydney with Sydney humour. I guess Melbourne people sometimes have they're a little bit more highbrow maybe, I don't know. But I knew that the shock jock factor wouldn't go down well, and I also knew that coming out of Sydney was not going to fly in Melbourne, and it didn't. It failed spectacularly. People did not tune in. They tuned out. Then ARN, I guess, find themselves in a position with this ridiculous $200 million contract over 10 years and no way really to recoup that in one major market. And then you add another layer of complexity. And that layer of complexity is a group called the MFW. I think it stands for Motherfucking Witches. And they are hell-bent on having Kyle sacked. I'm all for it. But I also, again, think this is complex, particularly with the state of politics at the moment and just what I've seen unfold over the last 10 years in the manosphere. I haven't watched Louis Theroux yet, but I'm sure I will, and maybe my next episode will be a reflection on that. But Louis Theroux's just brought out the Manosphere documentary. It's on my watch list. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But, you know, like we've got this whole pushback that we've seen happening, and it's increasing in popularity and mainstreamness, you know. I feel torn. Because I know when kind of COVID happened, what I witnessed, which was a lot of, you know, very left-leaning people ending up in these kind of COVID algorithmic pipelines and popping out the other end as far-right extremists, Christian fundamentalists. And it was concerning. And it had to do with them feeling like they were being ostracized from their own communities, not feeling like shamed for their beliefs and worldviews and their reluctance to buy the narrative. And look, I have to say, I had very strong views that were quite polarizing to people who did maybe have, I don't know, just a different view. I was of the opinion that we do need to protect the vulnerable, and for me to wear a mask, I was just going to do it, even though I'm claustrophobic, you know, like I would do it because that's the right thing to do. And I felt morally superior. And I know I probably caused a lot of people in my life a bit of shame. And yeah, and I mean, it's not my fault that they jumped into an algorithm and a rabbit hole and ended up as a far-right Christian fundamentalist, but I'm not going to take all the accountability for that. But I think it highlights that when people feel they're being shamed, they'll double down and they'll find communities where their thoughts are accepted, where they feel accepted, where they feel seen, where they feel a sense of belonging. I've really thought a lot over the years about how shame works. And so with the MFW group, basically they have organized themselves to stop people advertising on the Kyle and Jackie O show, because without revenue, there's no way that this show can be viable, right? Like, you can have the biggest audience in the world, but if you can't monetize that audience, then what's the point? When you're in a business as a broadcaster, your whole model is based on revenue from advertising. If you don't have advertisers, you don't have money, and therefore you cannot continue to see out a $200 million contract. It's just not possible, right? And so their tactic was to go about, listen to the show, highlight who was advertising, and then go at those advertisers until they pulled the advertising. And it was working. I mean, it is working. It has worked. I feel really conflicted about this, actually, because while I agree Kyle shouldn't be on the air, he shouldn't have a platform, I also do kind of believe in freedom of speech. I don't believe in telling people what they can and can't listen to. I feel we just have to look back to, in Australia, our voice campaign a few years ago. And what happened there? There was a lot of public shaming and a lot of "you're racist" and a lot of that kind of going on. And what ended up happening was these people became quiet. Not all of them. There were a lot of very vocal, but a lot of people just kind of went quietly in the opposite direction, and the voice ultimately didn't get up. And that has just further emboldened racists. It hasn't had any positive impact. And I worry about that when we tell people what they can and can't believe. Yeah, it's that moral superiority thing. They're not hearing you. When you're telling someone what to do, they're generally not listening unless they're compliant like me, you know, or like a lot of women. I have complex feelings around this, because while I sometimes am like, yes, go MFW, I feel a little bit conflicted. There's just like a little bit of, yeah, tension within me on this, which I actually feel like weird verbalizing. Anyway, we're in this situation where the MFW have fought a really incredibly successful battle to get Kyle off the air. And this leads us to the moment where Kyle and Jackie O have a blow up on air, and Jackie has had enough. She has had enough. Now, this is really interesting, because what I see playing out, or what I have seen playing out, is a lot of blame towards Jackie, because I mean, that's what happens. Women are blamed for men's bad behavior. And also a lot of rhetoric around how Jackie is just as much of a problem as Kyle is, because she has enabled him and has profited from this relationship with Kyle. She has been paid and therefore is compromised. And so there's that, and that definitely has some truth in it, right? Like all of this has, there's elements of truth in all of this. And so there's been a lot of backlash to Jackie on that, but also on the, she just needs to toughen up. What, this has been happening, this is their shtick, this is what they do. And she's been happy to do that. And then what, now she just changes her mind? She needs to harden the fuck up, which I find extremely, extremely misogynistic and problematic. And what it reminded me of actually is a lot of women who reach their middle age and have been in, you know, a heterosexual relationship for a very long time with a man child, doing all the heavy lifting, all of the mental load, just the classic traditional marriage. And then they kind of get to their middle age and they're not only having to care for their children, they're also having to carry most of the mental load. And then on top of that, often the load of elderly parents starting to come into the fold. And then on top of that, they're going through all of these hormonal changes and they just reach a breaking point where they're like, enough. And I just imagine that man who's sitting on the couch and, you know, stop nagging at me, woman, kind of thing. That's Kyle. Like that's who Kyle is. He's that guy. He takes no responsibility. He takes no accountability. He really is kind of a despicable human being. He's what every woman does not want in a man. The wife has been working on herself for a very long time, because that's what women generally have to do. We spend a lot of our lives working on ourselves, bettering ourselves so that we can, like, we've got such higher standards that we have to live up to. We also have had to take responsibility for the behavior of men all the time. It's what we were wearing. It's what we did. And yeah, and one day you just wake up and you're like, fuck this. And that's kind of what I see happened here. But as usual, when that wife reaches that breaking point and is like, I've had it, I'm done, I'm out the door, then what does the husband do? He goes, what? Where did this come from? This is out of the blue. What are you, like, they're shocked. And the wife has been trying to have these conversations but has been dismissed repeatedly over and 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 over again for years, decades. And then finally reaches a point where they're like, fuck this. And the husband goes, huh? Why? What's going on? Where did this come from? It came from 20 years of your weaponized incompetence, you fuckwit. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's kind of, I mean, they were the best of friends. They did everything together. It was probably equal, maybe. I mean, he always held most of the power just because he's the man. He was originally offered more than she was. You know, they were happy to pay her 90 grand a year and him 250 grand a year. And it was him who advocated for her. So I imagine there's probably also a layer of this, I kind of owe him for my career, instead of he owes you. You were established and he came in to your show. Yeah, just more complexity. And as usual in this society that we live in, the woman is made to cop the brunt of it. And Jackie has copped a lot. Now, there's another element here that gives a little bit more context too. So, you know, Jackie went to rehab. She had some drug and alcohol issues, or alcohol issues, I'm not sure. I didn't read her book. I don't really know the ins and outs of this, but she's been working on herself for the last few years, as a lot of women do, you know, a lot of personal development stuff. She's been becoming more and more spiritual and just kind of outgrowing Kyle. And she doesn't want to do the toilet humor shit anymore. She wants to live a life of greater purpose and meaning. And I feel like she's been dissatisfied for quite some time and trying to voice that to Kyle, but he's just been dismissive of it. And so when he brought up, so the whole blow up was she was talking about Andrew Mountbatten, is that his name, the ex-Prince Andrew, about his astrology. And whether it made good radio or not is kind of irrelevant. He dealt with it inappropriately and was very dismissive and kind of then started saying that she hasn't been taking her job seriously. And it just was the breaking point for her. She has, I imagine, felt like she's outgrown him and is stuck. And so this was just like, I'm out. So she leaves. A lot of people think it's a publicity stunt. A lot of people still think it's a publicity stunt, but it's not a publicity stunt. This is very real. It's been going on way too long for it to be that. This all unfolds. And apparently, or allegedly, Jackie's manager has a meeting with ARN and says that basically Jackie feels unsafe in the workplace. And I think what probably has happened here is that ARN, there's like a lot kind of tied up in this, but we often focus on the individual as the issue instead of zooming out and really looking at the system that's upholding it. And this system is ARN. It's shareholders. They're running a business. They're profiting off Kyle. And up until now, that has worked really well, obviously, because they were willing to enter into a 10-year, $200 million contract with Kyle and Jackie O. So until, I guess, the last 18 months, there's been no problem for ARN. There's been a problem for people who think that the content is inappropriate for radio, and they've had multiple being reported for their content. And some of it is just disgusting. But until now, they haven't really been held to account for that. And for ARN, it's like, well, if it's working and they're making money from it, then there's no problem. So I think sometimes we look at the individual instead of being like, the real problem here is the fact that a company is profiting from bad behavior and allowing it to continue and continuing to provide a major platform for problematic views. And it's only when they're not profiting off that, that it's an issue. Like, they never gave a shit about how the views of Kyle have impacted the people that they've impacted. It's always been about profit, which is how the business world works. And it's one of the things that I just really have felt very conflicted about for a very long time. You want to blame someone, I think you got to blame the business world. I think you got to blame capitalism for allowing for the status quo to be upheld until it's no longer profitable. That's the real problem here. Kyle can say and do whatever the fuck he likes, but the fact that they give him a platform to do it, which is why it's like, why I think I feel so conflicted about MFW, because I'm like, they weren't doing anything about it. They weren't doing anything about it. They just allowed it to happen. And now it's a problem because they can't monetize this very big audience due to a big part, the work of MFW. It shouldn't have had to come to that. But it does, because money speaks. So hence feeling conflicted about the whole thing. It does feel very complex to me. Anyway, Jackie's manager says that apparently it's an unsafe work environment. And I feel like what happened then was some exec at ARN has gone, unsafe work environment. Oh, that's a breach of contract. Here's our out. We can get rid of Kyle. Weirdly, So there's one thing that I need to clear up here too, right? Kyle and Jackie O are not employees of ARN. So therefore, they're not covered by any workplace laws. Their companies have the contracts. So there's no employee rights here. I didn't know that initially. I thought that Kyle and Jackie O were contracted to the network as people, as employees. They're not. Their companies are contracted. So it adds a layer of complexity here because they're actually not protected necessarily by workplace laws. Like, so this is just kind of my thoughts, and maybe I'm getting some shit wrong here, but initially I was like, oh, so they've heard unsafe work environment and they've gone, oh, this is our out, not realizing that they are the work environment that is unsafe, which was just like, what? But actually now knowing that they're not employees does make a lot more sense. But we're not really clear on the details of how, but ARN cancelled Jackie's contract. The $100 million for Jackie, the contract is gone, right? She no longer is contracted to ARN for the Kyle and Jackie O show. So we don't know how that happened. We don't know really the reason behind that. We don't know. So what actually happened then? It just gets messier and messier. They announced that Jackie quit. And then Jackie comes out a few days later and says, I did not quit. And so it just raises more questions, right? Like, what happened here? Well, she can't quit because she was never hired in the first place. She can cancel a contract. They can cancel a contract, but there has to be some arrangement made. Like, I can't imagine Jackie just going, yeah, just tear up the contract. Like, there had to be some kind of negotiation on that, because like there has to be a reason that they've cancelled the contract. And then Kyle comes out and says that he's basically been told by ARN not to have any contact with Jackie, that he wants to reconcile, and you know, it's all very sad, because this was a very real relationship that they had for a very long time, and to it end in this way is very sad. It's sad for Kyle and Jackie's friendship and relationship that they've had over 30 years of being basically best friends for most of it. I feel like it could have been something that was navigated differently if Kyle was willing to hear, which I'm not sure he is. However, at the end of the day, ARN still have the problem of a $200 million contract and no way of recouping that money. And so basically, I think Kyle and Jackie both said they were proceeding, you know, legal channels to come to some kind of resolution. The other day, Kyle had said he'll either be back on radio by Tuesday or he'll be taking them to court. So that's kind of where things sit at the moment. We don't really know what's happening. I know they've found someone who's going to be taking over Breakfast as of today. Yeah, and I guess they're going to court, and we'll watch it play out in the courts. But from where I stand, there's two possible scenarios that can play out from here, and both of them end up with ARN being pretty fucked. So one, Kyle stays on because they realize they can't cancel his contract, and they're fucked because MFW are not going to stop, and they've said that. And not only that, it also has, because one of the theories that I'd had was that Kyle and Jackie O would just take their show back to SCA, but I don't think that SCA or any network would touch them with a 10-foot pole based on what's been happening with the MFW. Like, they'd be mad because they just cannot. They can have the biggest audience and the biggest ratings, but they can't monetize that audience effectively through advertising. So they've either got to look at another model or they steer clear. And I think most radio stations would be just too risk averse to even contemplate taking them on right now. So basically Kyle stays on and they have to continue to honor this $100 million contract, which they can't effectively recoup, and it ends up taking them to the cleaners, you know, or they rip up the contract and Kyle sues them and he successfully gets $80, $90 million, you know, they pay out the contract and ARN are fucked. So that's really everything. There's a lot going on here. I'm interested to see what unfolds, because I do feel like it's a big cultural moment. Whether you like Kyle and Jackie O, whether you listen to commercial radio, this is a cultural moment. It's a moment where we will see what happens when we hold people of power to account, you know, which is ultimately what's happening here, will Kyle end up, because Kyle also has his own studios. He has his own studios set up. He could just go pirate rogue and, you know, create his own network if he wanted to. We're no longer in a place where we require a license in order to broadcast. We can create our own broadcast channels through the internet these days. So the landscape has changed. Kyle and Jackie O don't need ARN. So, who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But I'm interested to see, because I think, yeah, it does mark a very poignant moment in culture. And it's interesting because, from my perspective, I'm interested because it's about voices. It's about who gets to speak, who gets a voice, who doesn't get a voice, whose voices are platformed, why are they platformed, and when are they deplatformed? Is it because of moral reasons? Very rarely. It's mostly because of monetary reasons. And that part I'm keen to see change. Whether or not this has any impact on that, we'll just have to wait and see. All right, that's it from me. Peace.